Good. Obviously, he knew there was a lot of people that needed prayer here today, so praise God. Yes?
We forgot, is it being recorded now? You want to talk about the baptism?
Yeah. Yeah, we're going to have a baptism next week. So Curtis, if you would, you could put that on the internet, you know, on our webpage. And anybody that you know that hasn't been baptized, invite them to come on down. We'll baptize them in the name of the Lord. And we'll expect them to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit and go out of here shouting and singing and praising the Lord. How's that? Praise God. Praise the Lord. So spread the word if you know anybody that wants to get baptized, okay? Praise God. Father, in Jesus' name, I pause in your presence right now. I ask you to have your way here today. I give you all praise, all glory, and all honor. And I just ask you to just have your way. We give you the praise. We give you the glory. We give you the honor. We acknowledge you, Lord. We can do nothing without you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. The title to my servant today is that he commanded the light to shine out of darkness. You know, the funny thing is that a lot of times we think that there has to be some miraculous light show up or whatever, but I got news for you. Scripture says that the light and the dark are all alike to him. And you know, Margaret comes upstairs a lot of times, and I go upstairs, and I go to YouTube, and I've been watching this stuff on the James Webb telescope, and they keep finding things that they just can't explain. They don't know what's going on out there. And you know what? They're just realizing that they ain't as smart as they thought they was. God's smarter. And I seen a thing the other night where, you know, they was showing all these different constellations and different things. And I mean, the glory of God is so much greater than what we can even comprehend at this point. And yet the one I was seeing, they were showing this one place where it just looked like there was nothing there, just black. And you know, don't get me wrong, but I have kind of a sneaking suspicion that's right where God is. He's sitting right out there in some place where the natural eye can't see him, but when he opens the eyes of the Spirit, it'd probably be more glorious than all the stars that are out there, you know, because they've been talking about dark matter, and they think there's dark matter out there, and they can't figure out what it is, and, you know, man gets a little inkling of something, and God, he inspires them, you know, because they can't just figure this stuff out on their own sometimes, so he inspires them. But I think he's getting ready to reveal his glory, and it's going to be so beyond what we ever could have imagined or thought or anything else. And we just have to come to realize he's in control of everything, folks. I mean, the heavens declare him, and he's just so wonderful and so mighty and so powerful. Praise God. The first scripture I have up here today is 2 Corinthians 4, 1 through 18. And I'm going to read the first couple of verses, and then I'm going to read the first couple of verses in the Message Bible, out of the Message Bible, and then I'm going to go back to the King James. So if it seems like it's not making sense where I'm going to, that's what I'm doing here. So 2 Corinthians 4, 1 through 18 says this: "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. But we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness or handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God." And the Message Bible puts that like this. It says, "Since God has so graciously led all of us since God has so graciously led us in on what he is doing, we're not about to throw up our hands and walk off the job just because we run into occasional hard times." Amen. And you know, we do. You know, one thing that you got to tell Christians, You know, when you first get saved sometimes, it's wonderful. I mean, the Lord just meets you in so many ways. But as you go down the road a little bit, you know, he starts letting you have to grow up a little bit, you know. And, you know, my aunt said to me one time, she was a holiness, holiness lady, you know, and all that stuff. She said, you know, she called me Junior. She said, Junior, you know, she said, when, she said, when I first got saved, she said, whenever I called on the name of the Lord, it just seemed like he was right there, right on the spot. And she says, and now she says, sometimes when I pray, I just don't feel his presence like I did then. I said, well, sis, I said, and this is what the Lord had me say to her. I said, well, sis, I said, you know, when you was a little kid and you walked over to the faucet and all you could say was wah, wah, I said, didn't somebody jump up and go get you a glass and get you some water? And she said, well, yeah. And I said, but when you got to be about 15 years old or 16 years old, I said, and you went over to the sink and you stood there and said, wah, wah, somebody'd say, well, you big dummy, get it yourself. And the thing about it is we know that God sometimes says to us, hey, you know I'm here. I don't have to tickle you every time that you pray. I don't have to do something to you every time that you pray. You know I'm here. You know, I've been revealing myself to you over and over and over, year after year. And it's time for you to start acknowledging it, whether you feel it or you don't feel it, you know. And that's where a lot of times we try to walk too much in our feelings. Feelings is one of the least strong senses that we have. Feelings is one of the least. And feelings is the one we get hurt the most in. We walk around with our feelings hanging on our sleeve, and guess what? Somebody knocks them off your sleeve once in a while. But let me tell you, in the spirit, it's the same way. Feelings, he was touched with the feeling of our infirmities, you know, and we're to be touched with the feeling of other people's infirmities. But yet, you know, there comes a time where not only do you go by feelings, but you begin to go by hearing and you begin to go by sight. And those are the highest orders in God, because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And sight is the highest, because Scripture says when we see him as he is, what? We'll be just like him. You know, and if we're anything less than being just like him, just because we haven't seen him as he is. We've seen him the way somebody else said he was and the way the Scripture said he was, but we have to see him personally. And, you know, I'm going to go ahead and read you the rest of this. It says, and this is back to the King James, it says, we refuse to wear masks and play play games. We don't maneuver and manipulate behind the scenes, as we don't twist God's word to suit ourselves. Rather, we keep everything we do and say out in the open, the whole truth on display, so that those who want to see and judge for themselves in the presence of God. Now, that was still part of the message. Jumping back down into the King James, it says, but if our gospel is hid, it is hid from them that are lost. Now that sounds bad, doesn't it? Them that are lost. Guess what? We were all lost. Without him, we're all lost. And the only difference between us and them is that we're not lost anymore. We've been found. And what really happened is he drew us unto himself. And he's going to draw other people unto himself. The lost are going to be found. You know, Jesus told a story about the guy that had the 100 sheep and the one went astray. And what did he do? He left the 99 and went after the one. And I'm telling you, the day's coming where he's going to go in after the one. And we need to do our part in going after the one. Praise God. And the word says here in verse 4, it says, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that which believe not, lest they might be, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine upon them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. You know, years ago the Lord gave me a poem, and it goes like this, and it's talking about the treasure. There is a treasure that's given to man that not many of us seem to know. It's the treasure of peace and contentment, where in stillness the Spirit does show. The things that the Father has given that are truly ours to possess, the love, the joy, the health, the peace, and even the spirit of rest. These are truly pearls of great value. They're rubies beyond compare. They're the emeralds of your kingdom, and they're yours if you'll only but dare. But simply take me at my word, by my spirit learn to live. These treasures that I'll give you, only I can give. And you know, man's out there trying to find peace. He's trying to find health. He's trying to find all these different things. And he can't find them in the natural. I don't care how much money they get, how much possessions they have. They don't never find that full peace, you know. Let's go to the next verse. It says, but you are troubled on every side and not distressed. We are perplexed and not in despair, persecuted and not forsaken, cast down but not destroyed, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ, that the life of Jesus might be made manifest in our bodies. For we which were alive are always delivered unto death for Christ's sake, the life also that Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We have the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believe, therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore we speak, knowing that he which raised the Lord Jesus Christ shall also present us in you. For all things are for your sake, that the abundance of grace might be through thanksgiving of many rebound to the glory of God, for which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet our inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, and I like it says light, and it's L-I-G-H-T. Our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more and exceeding eternal weight of glory. While we look not at things which are seen, but at things which are not seen. For the things which are seen in the natural are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Praise God. You know, after I was reading this, I felt like the Lord took me to 2 Kings. And in 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 8 through 23, it says this. The king of Syria warred against Israel, and he took counsel with his servants, saying, in such and such a place shall be my camp. And the man of God sent unto the king of Israel, saying, beware that thou not pass through such and such a place, for the Syrians are come down. And the king of Israel sent to the place which the man of God told him and warned him, and saved himself there not once nor twice. So many times God was speaking to the prophet and telling him to tell the king, don't go into a certain area because the enemies are there, you know. And after a while, the Assyrian king, he was getting pretty upset because all his plans were falling awry. And he began to accuse all of his people around him. Somebody's telling the king of Israel what I'm doing. And one of the people spoke up and said, there's this old prophet down there. His name's Elijah, and he said, and God tells him everything that you're doing when he's upon his bed, and he basically said, let me read verse 12 for you. And one of the servants said, no, my lord, O king, but Elijah the prophet is in Israel and tells the king of Israel the words that thou speakest in thy bedchamber. And he said, go and spy out where he is, that I may send and fetch him. And it was told him, behold, he's in Dothan. And you know, Dothan is an interesting name there. Dothan has the meaning of two wells. And you know, anytime you go to a place and there's two wells there, there's an abundance of water there. And how many of you know that water is a type of the Word of God? And where else would Elijah be? Remember when Elijah, back in, if you've heard this story before, Elijah was following Elisha around, and Elisha was the main prophet, and he was really doing all kind of miracles and everything. And he kept telling Elisha, "You go over here and stay here, and I'm going on the way." And Elisha said, no, I'm not going to leave you. And he said, no, and he'd go over here, and then Elijah just go right behind him. And he'd get over there, and then he'd get over there, and then he'd say, "Well, wait a minute, now I'm going to go over here. Now you go over there." No, because some of the other prophets had said the Lord's going to take him up. So Elisha kept following Elijah around. And I'm paraphrasing this. And finally, Elijah got a little bit upset with him, and he says, "Okay, what's it going to take for me to get you off my back?" Basically what he was saying to him. He said, "That I might have a double portion of your ministry." Wow. And let me tell you what, that's not a bad thing to ask for. You know, Jesus said, "The works that I do shall you do also, and greater works than these." Now think about that. And he also said, "Father, the glory you've given to me, I've given it to them." Now, we haven't learned to function in that totally yet, but I believe we're going to start getting there pretty soon, because I think the world's crying out and it's declaring that something's got to give, because things are really out of whack, especially in this country. I mean, it's crazy stuff going on all over the place. But anyway, so Elijah was in Dothan. He was in a place where there was two wells. And what happened with Elijah is that he did follow Elijah around until he saw him go up. And when he went up, his mantle that he was clothed in fell down to the ground. And he picked it up. And the minute he picked it up, he went over to the water and smote the water, and it parted, because he knew the power had been given to him. And this is the Elijah that was dealing with this situation we're talking about right here. And anyway, I will tell you this too. In Dothan, when Joseph's brothers went to try to find him, they were supposed to be in a certain place. And Joseph came to that area, and his brothers weren't there. And he asked the people, he said, "You know, where's my brothers?" He said, "They're all supposed to be here." And they said, "Well, we heard some of them talking about going to Dothan." And guess what? Joseph went over and found them at Dothan. Well, that's the place where two wells are. And that's a place, I believe that's a type of where God's word is going to be magnified and going to increase. And then you got to realize Joseph had wonderful visions from God. And in them wonderful visions, he had seen the sun and the moon and the stars bowing down to him, and he'd seen the sheaves bowing down to him and all kind of stuff. Beautiful when you get those kind of revelations from God. But then the rubber has to meet the road. And at Dothan, Joseph was going to have some rubber meeting the road, because his brothers wanted to kill him because he had told them of the visions that God had given him. So what they do, they throw him down in a pit. And the word for pit there, it has the meaning of cistern too, and that's where they kept water. So I'm not sure that he didn't get thrown down in one of them wells. He might have, you know, I don't know. But we know the story of Joseph. We know that he went through persecution, and he just kept honoring the Lord no matter what was happening. You know, he got sold into slavery. When he was in slavery, he was the best slave, and he had to. His master's wife tried to seduce him, and he didn't give in to her. And she lied and said he did, and he went to prison and all this kind of stuff. And God gave him a blessing even in prison, because the guard, I think, let him carry the keys around, you know, stuff. And he told of his visions, and he ended up being the second in all of Egypt, you know, where God actually put him in that place where he was in authority. But I tell you that Dothan is a place of two wells, and that's where they find, that's where they were told that Elijah was by different people told him that that's where Elisha was. So they go down to Elijah, and they go down there, and they're gonna take him captured, you know. His servant goes outside, and he looks, and he sees the Syrian army, and he says, "Oh, my God, look at all these guys. What are we going to do?" And, you know, Elijah had vision. And Elijah said to him, he says, "You know what?" He says, "God, I pray that you would open his eyes." And he had told him, he said, "There's more with us than there is with them." And you couldn't see it in the natural. But when he prayed that his servant's eyes be opened, the servant saw chariots of fire all around the heavens. And I got news for you. There's always more with you than there is with them. No matter what you're going through out there, the them part, there's way more than you. The heavens, if your eyes were open, the heavens have got you covered no matter what's going on, say. And anyway, so we find out here that, so Elijah goes out and asks them, who are they looking for? And they said, "Well, you know, we're looking for that old prophet guy, you know." And Elisha prayed that their eyes would be closed. And they didn't know that he was Elijah. And he said, "Well, come on, I'll lead you right down to where he's at." And what did he do? He led them right down into Samaria, where all the armies of God were. So the king comes out there and he says, okay, he says, "Shall I rise up and slay him?" And Elijah said, "Well, if you took someone captive in the midst of war, would you kill him?" And the king says, "Well, no." And he said, "I don't want you to kill these guys either." He said, "What I want you to do is feed them." And he'd opened their eyes by then. He opened the eyes of the Syrians, and they realized they were surrounded by the armies of Israel. And you know what? Instead of killing them, what did they do? They fed them and told them to go home. And you know, I got news for you. There's times when in God, where no matter what somebody's done to you or how they've treated you or whatever, what God wants you to do is feed them and turn them loose. And, you know, that goes against what you naturally would do. You know, you naturally would, "Boy, I'm going to really put it on these people. They were bad to me," or something. But not according to what Elisha did there. And, you know, Elijah's name means God is salvation. And you know what? He showed the salvation of the Lord to those Syrian people that day. And I'm going to go on a little bit farther. And, you know, I was reading this little story the other day, and I'm going to read it to you. It says, "A blind man and a lantern." A blind man and a lantern is the name of the story. I remember reading a blind man who was found sitting in the corner of a street of a great city with a lantern beside him. Someone went up to him and asked him, why did he have a lantern, being that he could not see? And his answer was, the blind man replied and said, "I have it so that no one may stumble over me." And you know what? God tells us not to be a stumbling block to anybody. And if we're not careful, we can be a stumbling block if we're not willing to show them the light. And this blind man had more vision than the people who would have stumbled over him, you know, because he wanted to make sure that he was not a stumbling block to somebody else. Praise God. And, you know, We Christians need to make sure that we don't become a stumbling block to those around us. We let the light shine so that men would see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. His word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And you know, I want you to realize that I know sometimes it looks like things are dark out in the world today, but I'm going to tell you what. The light of God is out there, and it's in you. And you are his light. You are his emissary. You are his minister. We're all ministers unto God. It's not just the people who stand up here, but you're ministers too. You can minister a word of encouragement or a word of forgiveness to someone or a word of comfort or whatever they happen to need as you go through your life each and every day. And I tell you what, we all need a word of comfort once in a while and a word of encouragement. And I just want you to know that he commanded the light to shine out of darkness. And when he did, part of it was to give the glory of God in the face of Jesus, to show the glory of God in the face of Jesus. And I'm going to tell you, sometimes in some people's lives, the only Jesus they'll see on this side of the veil is you. The nature of God inside of you. And that's all I had to share with you this morning. So if you all stand, we'll close. And you know what? I just think sometimes, you know, people might say, well, Oscar, you know, you pray these words of encouragement to us and you say, it's not happening. But you know what? You got to start believing it's going to happen. Because such as your faith is, so be it will done unto you. If you don't believe it, you might not never see it. If you believe it, you'll see it. And my prayer is, you know, we pray that song, we sing that song sometimes, open the eyes of my heart, Lord, open the eyes of my heart. That we want to see Jesus, you know. And I got news for you. The world is crying out there, I want to see Jesus. And you can show him to them. Just let that little churchy song we used to sing when we were little kids, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Jesus gave me mine. I'm going to let it shine. Praise the Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, I give you praise and glory. I know this is a simple little word I shared here today, but I ask you, Father, to just let it just sink down in people's hearts. Let them realize that they are the light of God. They are the word of God, even. The word became flesh and dwelt among us. And you know, One of the things that you have to proclaim that the Antichrist can't say is that the Lord has come in flesh. And you know what? He came in your flesh. He came in his flesh first, and now he's come in your flesh. And Father, I just thank you, and I ask you to just minister to people this week, give them everything that they need, and just make them be that light out there in the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. If anybody wants prayer, we'd be glad to pray with you. Praise God.